You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie's.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here in San Francisco with Sam Jam Packard, the great. We got a few questions from the mailbag. You guys were a little weak. Didn't give us some great questions, but thankfully, we've got the wild report that, not totally wild, but the interesting report that Kyrie Irving forced his way out of the Cleveland Cavaliers by threatening to have surgery on his knee. Now, obviously, that's something that could impact the Celtics. That's something that already did impact the Cavaliers and the Celtics. So we'll discuss that. We've got more Marcus Smart discussion after he pounded potentially some glass in a hotel room at the team hotel. And we've got the All-Star Draft, where Kyrie was chosen by LeBron James. Before we get into all of that, we are the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you don't subscribe to us already, search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever else. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever created. We are the pod gods.
Pod gods, I like that.
the god cast. I don't know if that works.
I don't know if that plays. But let's talk about the Kyrie Irving knee injury. The story that came out today from Joe Varden that during, I guess, negotiations or during his trade demand, he said, yeah, if you don't trade me, I'm just going to get surgery on my knee. It's the same knee cap he broke that kept him out of the NBA Finals, I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, he just said he'd stay out. He'd just rehab the entire year if he didn't trade it. And it's an interesting story because he would still, like, I guess, need surgery, hypothetically, if he, like, has that issue. I don't really see it as much of an issue of the fact that, like, he forced his way out of Cleveland. At that point, he wanted to leave, and you're going to use anything you have for leverage. But I think the more interesting thing is his knee healthy right now? It's the same knee that he, like, smashed against Larry Nance's knee on Tuesday night. He was hobbling a little bit. I thought, like, really have no idea if those two are connected, but it doesn't, like, seem like Kyrie's playing at, like, he's playing hurt or there's any kind of deficiencies in his game. But it's something the Celtics certainly are aware of and should be a little bit concerned about because you don't want your star player to have lingering knee issues.
Yeah, the report was that it would be minor knee surgery. It's probably something like he needs to get it cleaned up and there's, like, a little damage in there and he's fine to play with it. It swells up a little bit from time to time. It bothers him from time to time. But obviously he had 40 points the other night, then followed that up with 33. He had a great game against the Clippers, really did a lot of playmaking in that game. So it's hard to say it's bothering him right now on the court. It is interesting though that he at least the report says that he at least has enough knee troubles that he was able to threaten knee surgery.
And yeah, the Cavs took that as a reasonable threat.
And to be clear, like, the Cavaliers are spiraling. Their season is going out of control. There are reasons for people to be leaking stuff.
My theory is this is just all LeBron right now to justify that it's not his fault. There's so many reasons why that this season is not his fault. But that's just me as, like, growing up in Boston as an anti-LeBron guy.
I think that is very much an anti-LeBron guy. LeBron doesn't have to say a word for people to know that it's not his fault. He's LeBron freaking James.
And granted, he has thrown teammates under the bus in the past, but he's typically done it through the press. It hasn't been a thing where...
This isn't going to Joe Vardon and saying...
But he's gone out and said, like last year, he was like, DeAndre Liggins? We got him in the rotation? You try to win games with DeAndre Liggins. So in the past, I think he's been more upfront.
But it also comes on the heel of the Brian Windhorst report that he was very upset that they didn't go after Paul George or Eric Bledsoe. And kind of that seems like a real subtext, not too thrilled that Isaiah Thomas is in town. I don't know. It's mighty suspicious that those two reports come out at the same time. And maybe I just like connecting the dots because it's fun. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. But I think there's something with LeBron blames trying to get it off of his back as he's prepared to exit Cleveland at the end of the season.
I do think it's pretty comical that the Cavaliers were allegedly threatened by the prospect of somebody needing months to come back from surgery.
And then traded
for Isaiah Thomas, who missed the first few months of the season with a damaged hip.
And who still doesn't look like he's all the way back.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for the Cavs. Like, all this drama, the Kevin Love fake sick stuff, the LeBron's mad about Paul George and Eric Bledsoe, all this crap. If Isaiah Thomas is right, if he gets healthy over these next few months, they are going to be hell to stop come playoff time. And it doesn't matter what the drama's like now. It doesn't matter who's moving in and out of the starting lineup. They took Jay Crowder out of the starting lineup, put in Tristan Thompson. None of that really matters if Isaiah Thomas gets right, because I think if he gets right, the Cavs are going to outscore anyone in the Eastern Conference. And if he doesn't get right, they look vulnerable. And that's just how it goes. But as far as the Kyrie thing, it's also interesting timing, because he said the other night he was sore in that left knee, and it's something he's just kind of got to weather and manage and be a professional about, I believe is the term he said. So it doesn't seem too serious right now, but it is a thing. The knee is a thing that's bothered him in the past, and it's definitely something to keep in mind as the Celtics go through the rest of the season. And maybe he'll need to get it cleaned up after the season. But
who knows?
He's playing good basketball right now. So
I just want to give a shout out to King Kahuna at Kona King Kahuna, who asked, does Kyrie have a bad knee and how good would he be if his knee was right? I don't think we could know if his knee's bad right now, but you know what? You asked the question. You took the time to pound out the hashtag Raiden Jay's tweet. So King Kahuna, shouts to you.
He'd be catching alleys. He'd be catching alleys with a healthy knee. He'd be averaging 35 with a healthy knee.
Speaking of catching alleys, this is something we didn't mention, but Gordon Hayward in L.A. just flaunting, taking some shots up before the Clippers game, doing some dribbling on the court. I don't know anything about rehab, but that was way more than I thought he would be able to do at this point.
And he's standing still taking shots.
No, not just standing still. He dribbled through the legs. That involves steps. Okay. That involves putting pressure on left.
He wasn't at all running, wasn't jogging, wasn't even jumping when he was shooting. People freaking out about these videos and saying he looked great, like... Yes, Gordon Hayward is capable of putting the ball through the hoop.
Yeah, but like, think about how
good he was doing it while he was sitting in a damn chair.
He looked good in the chair, and he looked good standing up. I'm just saying, it would be better if him looking good doing that than looking bad doing that. I was just surprised to see him dribbling. I didn't realize how much mobility he had.
Oh my God, all-star man can dribble.
I didn't realize how mobile he would be, but I guess when you're making fun of me like that, yeah, I should have known, because I also saw him just walking around the Staples Center. So, you know what? Fair point. I retract my statement about Gordon Hayward.
I mean, it's good, I think, that he's right on schedule and that he's taking shots, and obviously he is progressing. But it's very clear watching the videos that he has a long, long, long way to go. If you can't have the range of motion to jump when you shoot, then you've got a long way to go until you can shuffle
your... How do you know he's not just saving the jumping for private moments?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely just saving the jumping for private moments. And this guy who had his general manager tweet a photo as soon as he took his ankle brace off and has been very open about the entire process so far, is just totally being secretive about this and pulling one over on all of the Celtics fans just for fun.
It's valid points, J. King. I got nothing to retort. Yeah, valid points.
I got beef with you, though. I got beef with you. So we're recording this in my hotel room in San Francisco. You said you were going to bring beers, and then you showed up with no beers.
Bro, I just walked an hour from where I'm staying to here, and I did say I was going to bring beers, and I simply forgot. We could pause the podcast right now and go get some beers.
I'm just saying, you don't promise a man beers.
I think a promise is a...
And go unfulfilled.
I think promise is a strong term, but I'm down to go get beers.
No, that's... I don't want beers anymore.
Well, you don't want beers. Why are you bitching?
all right. Now that we're bickering as teammates, that reminds me of the All-Star Draft where LeBron James picked Kyrie Irving. I think either way, this was going to be an interesting story, and it was going to be something people would read into either way. If he didn't pick Kyrie, if Kyrie had ended up on Stephen Curry's team in the draft, then people would have wondered, oh my God, did LeBron James purposely pass on Kyrie Irving? Did he just not want him on his team? Does he hate Kyrie? And then he
that's why we needed to be televised. We needed to see all these moments because it would have been fascinating.
Yeah. Instead, he picked Kyrie, and then it was hilarious when he went on and described how his thought process. He basically said, I want to pick the best available players, but he also said it's always special to reunite with Kyrie and Kevin Love on the court. And it's like,
remembering one championship.
You haven't reunited again. Like, this is not something you've done. And it probably won't be all that special. You'll probably still have some animosity between you guys because Kyrie threatened to have surgery. He wanted to leave you so badly. So it's an interesting storyline. I wish they had televised it. I would have done anything for them to televise it. I would pay my entire next paycheck to someone if they would leak that news.
Oh, the leaks are coming. You know the draft order is going to be... like. I feel like Shams is working on that right now.
Someone has to let that leak. LeBron and Steph both said they would have liked to televise. So they're both okay with publicizing it, allegedly. I need the leak. I need it. I need to know where Kyrie went. I need to know everything. Where do you think Al Horford went?
I was actually thinking Al Horford might have been the last pick.
No. So they switched it up. LeBron had the first pick of the starters. LeBron had... Oh, I guess he did have the... LeBron had the last pick. So Horford ended up on Steph's team.
Okay.
He was not the last pick. Horford's not an All-Star game type of guy.
No, he's not a flashy, like, he's not a guy who's going to throw you alley-oops. He's not going to do crazy stuff. Like, he's all about fundamentals, and that's not what the All-Star game's about. So I was thinking he could have been... But you're right, with the draft order. I don't know who... So who's the worst player on LeBron's team?
When I was drafting, I think... Who did we have last when I drafted with Tom Westerholm on MassLive.com, Boston Celtics YouTube page. Go like it if you haven't already. Who did we pick last? Maybe Kyle Lowry?
John Wall?
It might have been Lowry. No, you can't pick Wall last. Although... Westerholm picked Oladipo over John Wall, which was a wild move to me.
Based on the season they're having, I would pick the same thing.
It's not the season. This is which player would you rather have for the All-Star game?
Oladipo can dunk if you're a passer.
Sweet, bro. John Wall can dunk too.
Oh, so what? John Wall's just going to run real fast and do a fancy layup?
Yeah, yeah. This is the All-Star game. Yes, he is going to do that.
That's fair. That's what he does. Kyle Lowry's just going to have a giant ass and shoot what? Some deep threes, and Kyle Lowry's not a great All-Star game player.
No,
I would say Kyle Lowry's the biggest nomination for last pick. But who do you think the first pick was out of the starters? Is it Kevin Durant?
That'd be Kevin Durant.
Because that's the only way. LeBron had first pick, and that's the only way KD ends up on LeBron's team, right?
If it wasn't Kevin Durant, then Stephen Curry then passing Steph Curry, on Kevin Durant.
Then he picked James Harden
first. I really
first.
Need the leak if he did that.
All right, well, let's get into the hashtag Raining Jays questions. This one's from Alec Giacoletto at AGAC11B. Could a trade for Zach Randolph be a real possibility if he was willing to commit to the Celtics past this year with the selling point of competing for a title to finish off his career? He would help the second unit in scoring and rebounding, which is very needed. This is the second, I think, Zebo trade I've seen in the Raining Jays hashtag in a while.
We got some wild listeners, man. No, the Celtics should not trade for Zebo.
He's got a 3-year deal. Doesn't he have something? Didn't he sign for something crazy to go to Sacramento?
He signed for a solid amount, and he's not a particularly helpful player anymore. It would be fun to have him on the Celtics for moments like when he told DeMarcus Cousins, "In my hood, bullies get bullied." But he's not a particularly effective player anymore. He
doesn't shoot the three, which is
he doesn't shoot the three, doesn't defend. He washed.
There's literally
semi-washed at this point, at least.
I hope there's a world in which that gets back to Z-Bo and he.
If Z-Bo finds me, I'm leaving, man. I'm not going anywhere near that guy. But no, you do not want Z-Bo on the Celtics. Nobody should want Z-Bo on the Celtics. The fact that we got a Z-Bo question does amuse me, though, and it does make me happy that we're talking about Z-Bo a little bit.
The people love Z-Bo. They just want him to see it in Celtic Green. This is from Ivan Spitfire 93. Should Shemmy start getting more consistent minutes? One good game from Shemmy, and people are ready to give him the reins. And I think his minutes have been really inconsistent. We saw him get zero in the Lakers game, make a pretty big impact in the Clippers game. There's games a couple of weeks back against the Nets where he didn't play at all till the final 7 minutes and had a huge game. It feels like Brad's still trying to figure out kind of the big rotation, especially in that second unit. Sometimes it's Tice, sometimes it's Shemmy. I don't know. Now that he has shown that he's capable of making a three-pointer, maybe he's much a more viable option. But that was his first three-pointer made since like early December. So
December 23rd. It was a month and a day between three-pointers.
So if he's like unable to kind of do anything for you on offense, then he's very like one-dimensional, unplayable. If he can start kind of just knocking down those threes, then yeah, I think he deserves more minutes.
Yeah, it all depends on three-pointers for him. He's obviously a helpful defensive piece. He can match up with bigger guys. He can match up with wings. He's very versatile. He can move his feet, all of that. But you need more. You need him to give that at least a tiny bit of offense. Just the threat of shooting, because when you don't have that threat of shooting and he's playing with the second unit, which already features Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, then what is he doing for you offensively? And the answer is not much. So you need him to knock down shots. And if he does knock down shots, yes, he will threaten to get more minutes.
This is from Bucket Zone at Bucket Zone. Do you think a more chemistry and experienced Kyrie, Hayward, Jalen Tatum, Horford lineup can lead the Seas to a championship next year, or will they trade Horford in a package in offseason or grab another free agent? Basically, next year, if you add Gordon Hayward to this team, do you think they're title contenders?
I think they're a lot closer. Now, to get to Golden State's level, and Golden State is really obviously the team to beat. Golden State is just a historic team. They're one of the best teams ever. And so you need to be so damn good. Are the Celtics that good yet? No. Would they be that good with Gordon Hayward right now if he were fully healthy? I don't think so. But with the way that Tatum and Brown could potentially progress, I think those guys are the wild cards. Not necessarily the wild cards, because I think they're both going to be at least very good. If those guys can take the step quickly to becoming all-stars and becoming superstars and becoming like go-to guys, they have the ability to raise the Celtics ceiling and give them a chance to compete with an all-time team like Golden State. I'm not saying they would be favored in that matchup, but it's going to take Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both progressing to get to that level where you even have a realistic chance of beating that team, just because the Warriors are so damn good. They're amazing.
They're absolutely insane, but you think about it. We're talking about next year. Andre Iguodala is going to be another year older. Their depth might not be the same thing, and the Celtics have shown this year that they have the potential to have an elite defense. You think adding Gordon Hayward to that, 20-point-per-game scorer, another guy who can really create his own shot, I think his addition to the lineup would solve a lot of the offensive woes that the Celtics have of having two go-to guys playing off of Al Horford. and just like having those moments that we saw in the preseason where we thought this team was going to be like the greatest offense of all time. I don't see why they wouldn't contend for a championship. I think that if you're in the finals, and I think the Celtics would be the prohibitive favorites to make the finals out of the East, then yeah, you definitely have a chance to beat the Warriors. Anything can happen in a 7-game series.
Yeah. Yeah, anything could happen with Gordon Hayward back. I mean, when you think about what the Celtics need right now, and Danny Ainge has joked about this a couple of times, they need a 6'8 wing
who can shoot.
Who's a playmaker, and he can shoot, and he can guard multiple positions, and he can, you know, buoy bench unit scoring and allow you to stagger your stars instead of go with all bench units, which have not always scored the basketball for Boston. So Gordon Hayward changes a lot for the Celtics. He will make the team much, much better. I don't know how many more wins that will result in, but in a playoff series, and I only say I don't know how many more wins that will result in because they're damn near on a 60-win pace. Like, they're winning a lot of games already. When you get to that level, it's tough to win more games. You look at Golden State, they added Kevin Durant and lost and didn't win as many games the next year, but they're a better team. They're a more dangerous team. So, what the hell was I saying, man?
Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward's good. Gordon Hayward's good at basketball.
Generally good. Will help the Celtics. We'll see what happens.
And guess what?
A year and a half from now.
He can walk and dribble. It's crazy.
He can dribble on video.
It's crazy.
And his wife's a better shooter than Markelle Fultz.
Someone tweeted that.
My main man, June Lee from Bleacher Report, had a nice video.
That was a harsh, harsh dig at Markelle. Poor Markelle.
You should just
man.
See Jay King's. He just like melted. You just like took that personally.
Markelle is going to come back and make a lot of all-star games, and everyone is going to remember the wild year when Markelle just forgot how to shoot or
he
had
might
an
never
injury and couldn't shoot or whatever it is.
He may be terrible, though. He may be Anthony Bennett. He may never play again. What if he can't raise his hand over his shoulder? What if his shot? What if he has the yips? What if he is like Chuck Knobloch and starts throwing the ball over the first baseman's head?
Markelle Fultz will be a many-time All-Star. That's facts. Hashtag facts.
I don't think he will be because he'd be on the same team as Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. It'll be tough to get three All-Stars, but nonetheless, that was just it's just fun to get jokes off, you know? I think that's a perfect transition into Raining Junk. This is from Max Green, at Green Max. He wants a definitive analysis of Jay Crowder, and he needs the Raining Junk analysis of Jay's effect on the Cavs' locker room chemistry. Does he even talk to Kevin Love? Now, Jay Crowder just got benched for Tristan Thompson. There is that hilarious clip of Kevin Love falling down and Jay Crowder stepping over him to inbound the basketball, but I don't know how that we feel like we did. We've got a lot of Cavs talk in this podcast.
A lot of Cavs talk. I feel like things probably aren't as bad as it seems like from the outside. But at the same time, there is a lot of shit going on in Cleveland. They've got an owner contemplating sale. They've got LeBron James, who's a free agent. They've got Isaiah Thomas, who is going to be a free agent and is obviously wants to make his money. I talked about the Briggs truck and is working his way back from health. They've got Kevin Love, who just got berated because his teammates thought he faked sick. And they've got Jay Crowder, who's in the worst year he's had in a couple years. And
just J.R. Smith
just got
exists. Benched.
And they've got J.R. Smith, who just forgot how to play defense. And they've got Tristan Thompson, who's not nearly the force that he used to be, especially on the glass and defensively and switches. So they've got a lot of crap going on over there. They've got a lot of weird stuff going on. And again, if Isaiah becomes Isaiah, none of it really matters.
Winning cures everything. But I have no idea about what Jay Crowder thinks of Kevin Love. But so, who knows? I appreciate the question, Max Green. This is from...
I hope they're best friends.
They're good, yeah. Just drinking wine together. Yeah,
they are currently drinking wine together.
I don't know if Jay Crowder has a lot of friends. He kind of seems like a grumpy dude.
LeGarrette Blount?
Everyone's friends with LeGarrette Blount.
LeGarrette Blount guy.
This is from Bruno Sosa, at Bruno Sosa 92. Since I subscribe to NBA League Pass and watch C's feed, I've become biased regarding fouls Am I becoming a true fan? Hashtag the Tommy effect. Hashtag raining junk.
I don't know if that constitutes being a true fan, but you get a Tommy point. And I absolutely believe in the Tommy effect. I think that if you listen to Tommy long enough, you're going to start seeing calls a different way.
Oh, Celtics Twitter definitely agrees. I mean, this is not just Celtics specific. It's like just being a fan specific. And it's players do the same thing. Players will hack the shit out of someone and then get a foul called on them and then just scream at the referee. And then it just doesn't make any sense. I don't get like what their credibility is. Kevin Durant actually got tossed out of a game. And then after the game, he was like complaining about it. And then the next day at practice, he was like, yeah, no, I went back and watched all those plays. Like, I was kind of being an asshole.
I was a
like,
diva.
Yeah.
I like that. That was
self-awareness is key in the...
That was a cool moment from Kevin Durant. The Tommy effect, I think this team makes it easier to fall into the Tommy effect because the Celtics never draw free throws.
And all they do is foul the other team.
And they've spent a lot of time hacking lately. So the Tommy effect is real. So shout out to my man. He's Tommy point for you.
All right, we got a rating junk question from John Corrales. In honor of All-Star Weekend, give me the All-Tito team. What all-time Celtics team would Terry Rozier select in his own image? So I'm basically thinking of who are the coolest Celtics of all time.
Yeah, this is basically the coolest Celtics of all time. Whew. This is... I'm only going to do this from Celtics players who have played since I started becoming a real fan. So the true pimps like Sam Jones and guys back then.
Bob Cousy not making the list.
Bob Cousy, very sorry. But yeah, so this is going to be all players that have been in.
I got the first time. One. It feels obvious. Cedric Maxwell, Cornbread. That guy's cool as fuck.
Okay.
No, you disagree?
Eric Williams.
A strong agree as well. Was 55.
Wasn't his wife on Real Basketball Housewives? That's the type of drama that Team Tito can be on board for.
I would agree 100%. So we got two players. I don't know. You have more Celtics history that's being more washed up than I am.
I would say, does Antoine Walker go on there?
He did invent the Walker Wiggle.
The Walker Wiggle.
The only reason he does shoot so many threes is because there's no fours.
That gives him Tito points.
Tito points is a good phrase that you just coined. Right?
I kind of like Tito points. We might have to start doling out Tito points.
Now, this is kind of a wild card, but Larry Bird talked a lot of fucking shit. Like, Larry Bird was a cool dude. Like, not, like, Tito cool. Not like he was stunned in any, like, sunglasses or had any cool outfits. But the way he backed up his shit-talking and told people, like, I'm going to shoot it right there. And
Larry Bird was the biggest badass. Yeah, I was going to say in Celtics history, Bill Russell may have something to say about that. Larry Bird is one of the biggest badasses in NBA history. So does that put him on Team Tito, though?
Him and Tito don't really feel like they would mesh well.
Although Larry Bird was a big Lance Stephenson guy, and I feel like Lance Stephenson might be on Team Tito.
Speaking of Lance Stephenson, not really speaking of, but another guy I just thought of, Jordan Crawford.
Jordan Crawford is the captain of Team Tito. The absolute captain of Team Tito. Jordan Crawford, oh, man. When he won Eastern Conference Player of the Week, that was probably the pinnacle of Celtics
fans. Celtics basketball.
For all Celtics fans, that was the moment. And that was also the moment when people started to realize Brad Stevens
can do some special things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm running out of other Celtics.
That's four. We got one more to...
Trying to think of the 2008 team. Eddie House was a cool-ass dude. I was a big Eddie House fan.
Eddie House was a cool-ass dude.
Him and James Posey. Eddie House was the cooler of the two.
Kendrick Perkins?
Perk is a badass.
Perk is a badass.
But he feels like a guy who just likes to hang out on like a ranch in Texas. Not like he's not going to the club. Yeah. He's not with Tito in the club.
That's true. Who would be the fifth?
This is where you guys need to come in and tweet at us using hashtag rain and junk for anyone we missed, because there's a lot of random dudes who have come into town. with the Celtics, and I don't know who fills out that fifth spot on Team Tito.
Delonte West.
Delonte West did get...
Tony Allen might be... We might have to make Tony Allen the captain of Team Tito.
Delonte West got pulled over in a motorcycle with semi-automatic weapons like in his sidecar. Like, that's pretty... He's about that life.
Those guys could both be on Team Tito.
All right, there you go. So if we've missed anyone, please tweet us. Thank you, John, for the question. This sparked a very good debate.
Tito points for all.
Yeah, thank you, Jay, for coining the phrase Tito points. I think that's going to wrap it up. We have some more questions, but they didn't meet the muster right now. There's another one about of the two All-Star teams in the Royal Rumble, who wins? Okay. All the All-Stars.
Okay. Let's not do it for the two teams. Let's do it for all the All-Stars. If you have, and let's not do it a Royal Rumble either. Let's just have a street fight, all 24 All-Stars.
This is easy. Boogie Cousins.
No, Boogie Cousins.
Who's fucking up Boogie Cousins?
Zach Randolph stood right next to Boogie Cousins and said...
Is Zach Randolph an All-Star?
And said, in my hood, bullies get bullied. And you know what Cousins said? Nothing. Jaylen Brown flexed right in Boogie Cousins' face. And you know what Boogie Cousins did? Nothing.
I'm hearing a lot of anti-Boogie Cousins talk, but I haven't heard you nominate anyone.
Is a whining, big bitcher.
He's also 7 feet tall and ginormous.
Okay, but... Toughness.
Tale of the tape.
Toughness comes before
I've
that.
I've still yet to hear your pick for winner here.
Yeah, that's the problem here. The All-Star game is for the finesse guys, the skill guys.
Is Bron not going to win it? Kevin Durant, Mr. All-to-Count.
The enforcer types.
Anthony Davis is big, but you can't trust a guy with a unibrow. Who are you going to have on there? There's no bigs on there. LaMarcus Aldridge? Hell no. James Harden.
Lowry might come out of there.
Why? You think Lowry's a badass? He's scrappy.
Lowry is a badass.
He is scrappy.
Lowry's a badass.
I was going to say James Harden, but then I realized he paid other people to try and beat up Moses Malone's son. It wasn't
Draymond.
Draymond
and Kyle Lowry would end up the last two, and they would just wail on each other until they could not wail on each other anymore, and I think Draymond would come out...
I think Klay Thompson might win just by accident. Like, he would just be kind of just like hanging out.
Just chilling in the corner. He'd have no clue there was even a fight going on around him.
And then he'd look up and everyone around him would be dead. He'd go, shit, man, where's my dog?
Kyle Lowry and Draymond Green and just put the finishing touches on each other. And Klay just comes walking
just
over.
Generally confused, but like, hey, this is weird. What happened here?
Draymond's the guy, man. Draymond wins that.
I still think I'm taking Boogie in that situation.
Draymond would beat the ever-living piss out of Boogie.
All right, well, I guess we'll have to turn it again to the fans. Who do you think would win in that fight, in the street fight of all the All-Stars? I'm Team Boogie or Team Confused Klay Thompson drinking chocolate milk. Jay believes that is Draymond Green. I think those are the only three logical answers. Or Kyle Lowry.
I think Team Tito would beat all their asses.
Oh, yeah. The Team Tito we just created. Absolutely. Last night, you got upset when I closed it out. So do you want to do it?
No, I thanked you for closing it out. But I'll close it out this time. This has been a beautiful episode. We're here in San Francisco. Sam forgot his beers. Forgot my beers, more importantly. And... that's it. That's all we got tonight for this episode of the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.